Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 134. I'm Adam and with me this week is Rhys Parton.
Can you hand me another box of tissues?
No. Robert Haynes.
Me too.
Oh, God. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hey ho, Kermit the Frog here. It's in, this is the Muppets
and Mary. What on earth are you on about? And Mary Lang.
Hello.
Oh, no.
I've got a funny feeling the dogs are going to come in a minute because they don't normally stay in the room on their own for very long. Okay, now. What I'm going to do this week, right, this episode of who's making a sort of noise? But that's Robert.
Probably me.
Sort of yeah, it's probably me.
Probably picking up a car again.
Anyway, what we're going to do, right, now, this episode...
My plug wasn't in properly.
Was it not? This episode called Angels Take Manhattan. Oh, God. This episode... Angels Manhattan. Too much to talk about, so suggest a full-on commentary. So has everybody got access to this episode that we can play and synchronise?
Jointly.
Yes.
Anybody hasn't?
Well, I'm going to have to go start it up if we're going to do
that.
And
how long will that take?
3 to 4 minutes.
Okay. In the meantime, please let me know. I'm just getting mine ready, so when you're ready...
Okay. I'll let you know when I'm back.
Well, you're going off to do it, eh?
Oh, well, because my TP is across
your
the room.
Your TP? Her TP is across the room. Yeah, I didn't know that...
how do you queue it up on the computer?
Eh? Oh, what, your TP?
We have our ways.
What, your TP? Oh, I see, sorry.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I must say, right, through the post the other day, this lovely little item here arrived.
Oh, that
the
looks
ambassadors
really
ambassadors
yeah,
of
yeah,
death.
Yeah.
I've been longing for this to come out on DVD, and it's here in my very hands. Now, this is the last. Episodes of Doctor Who that I have had in a non-digital format, so I had to keep the VHS tape because I couldn't convert it to DVD because of the macro stuff on it. I did have a recording of it from UK TV Gold, but it was all black and white and all over the place. But now, in my very hands, I have the Ambassadors of Death, and I really cannot wait to play all the bonus features on it, including... Who's blowing in their microphone?
Not me.
Including a commentary with actors Caroline John, Liz Shaw, Nicholas Courtney, Brig Adair, Peter Halliday, Alien Voices, and Jeffrey Beavers. Are they all dead?
All except Jeffrey Beavers.
Director Michael Ferguson, script editor Terence Dix, a very good friend of Siobhan Galachon, apparently, and stunt coordinator Derek Ware.
Havoc!
And stunt...
Cry Havoc!
And all that stuff. And moderated by Toby Haydoke, who must be thinking that every time he does one of these... commentary thingamajigs, he's worried about finding out the next morning which one's died, because it seems that all these things that he's done commentaries on, nobody still seems to be alive at the time the DVD comes out.
It's awful, isn't it?
But it is.
Well, I'm back.
And making of the Ambassadors of Death, cast and crew look back at the making of the story with Michael Ferguson, Terence Dix, Derek Ware, Roy Scammell, don't know how you say that, and assistant floor manager... Yes, I did. And Margot Heyho, a great name. And Tomorrow's Times, Third Doctor, the ongoing series looking at the press coverage of Doctor Who, reaches Doctor Who, the John Pertwee era, presented by Peter Purvis, and at the trailer of the original BBC TV trailer for the story. I'm really looking forward to seeing that, and the actual story itself, so I might have to watch that. It's a shame you lot haven't got it, because I would suggest we watch that...
Hey.
Next week, before going back into series
four. I'm
going to
check the stores tomorrow, and it might be in.
Yes,
all right.
I would have to special order it. It would take a while.
Only because I was looking for ABC iView, and it came up at the ABC shop, and apparently was released here on the 26th. So I didn't see it in store, but
Okay, right. And synchronize. 3, 2, 1, play. Right. So, as Robert said, somebody is typing. I'm not really sure this has actually synchronized, to be fair. Right, so there's statues.
Haven't yet.
Hasn't yet what?
No, that's what was typed. I said happened yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You notice some of these statues look like they've had their eyes drawn on them. The rain, that was like it was last week and here in the Isle of Wight. It was really chucking it down. Yeah, but these statues, right. You knew straight away that all these statues that didn't look like angels were, in fact, angels. Because they did say in this story that all the statues had been taken over by angels rather than they were angels. They were just taken over by them.
Well, would that mean that all those statues around him on his desk?
Apparently so.
That's what he's thinking on the wall.
Yeah.
Indeed. Now, this actor, the actor who played the sinister sort of... What was he?
Mike McShane.
No, what's he been in?
The Private Eye? Or the...
No, the older bloke.
The older guy.
Yeah, Mike McShane.
What's he been in?
Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Really? Oh, yes, of course he was, yes. I know I've seen him somewhere else. Is that all it says? Nothing.
Oh, he's been in lots of things.
Nothing more sort of well-known?
Nothing I can remember at 5 in the morning.
I don't know. I'll look him up. Who's he? Grail?
Is he?
Yeah, his name is Grail. Yeah.
Yeah, Grail.
Now, this...
I've never heard of him. Oh, he's an American.
This sequence where all these... You know, we have the typing of the novel by whoever it is.
The address Grail gave...
Yeah, right. They don't have to read it for word for word, but the fact that they looked at the Statue of Liberty made me think, I wonder if the Statue of Liberty is going to become an angel.
As soon as I heard that it was going to be set in New York, I knew the Statue of Liberty was going to be. I said it. Go back many podcasts.
I think I did. Yeah. Good point. Yes, I thought I heard it somewhere else, and it must have been from you.
Now, they focus on the Statue of Liberty every time they go to New York.
Yeah.
True.
But what's it with the little girl? The little girl doing the thing with her eyes.
I don't know.
That was a bit...
At first I thought that might have... I was thinking that was the young Melody before she got sick, but...
Oh, okay.
No.
No, it wasn't.
I thought we need to have something interesting in it for that to be the case.
Well, yeah, no, but that had no bearing whatsoever on the story.
I know.
There was a woman there as well, wasn't there, for that? Very, very short period of time.
There were three people looking at the statue.
Right, anyway.
I think it just means that the girl knew what to do.
Looked a bit contrived to me.
Perhaps those are other people who the angels have sent back. And that's what Julia says she was thinking as well.
You mean they were sent back from the future, like in the 2000s?
Remember, this whole building is filled with people that the angels brought there. So those are other people that the angels have done this to.
I suppose that's quite good.
You're just guessing at that, Kirby. You don't know.
Well, Julia, too.
At the end, when it mentions about the significance of the place, because remember, Rory's name's on there.
Okay, well, I'll accept that.
The very first question that I had, very first, right off the bat, was, this guy, you know, he's got angels all around him, why hasn't he been taken back in time? Or has he already?
No, he has. Well,
he hasn't
he's
yet.
He's hiring this other guy to look into the angel thing. But he himself, which is surrounded by angels, why isn't he taken back in time?
Oh, true. Good question.
Good question, but he has got one of them imprisoned. But and they can't look at each other either, can they, angels? Is that right?
Now, I love the way that all the, like the, paperwork, and he looks at his hat and his coat are exactly the same.
And it's all old, made to look old. Yeah,
yeah.
But then, of course, we find out later on in the story that you know they've got to stay in those rooms for all the rest of their lives. Where do they get the food from, stuff like that.
Now, did anybody else find the name of this hotel weird enough that you expect it's probably some kind of an anagram? I thought Kirby might jump right out.
No, because for one thing, remember, I'm a Disney fan, and the Disney Cruise Lines has a island that they send people that the ships dock at called Something Key, spelled that way as well. so I'm used to that spelling of key.
Okay, I just thought Winter Key looked so different.
Yeah, it does.
I thought, wow, that's got to be something.
It's a key to something.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, the Angels have managed to get into the lift and operate it, or as you Americans call it, elevator. And
this would have been an elevator, not a lift.
Okay, anyway, so here, well, because it's in America, because is it, what's this bloke's name, Malone or something stupid? And then
no, his name is Garner.
Oh, that's right. Anyway, he runs onto the roof and looks over his shoulder, and it's the Statue of Liberty with funny teeth.
Oh, I loved that. I loved that image. I did not like it. Oh, I loved it.
You didn't like it? I thought.
Well, someone is always looking at the Statue of Liberty. How did it get there?
Yeah.
Exactly. But that was quite late at night. But in the city where nobody sleeps.
Yeah.
But I did like the image, I must admit. But it did.
Oh, I did too.
But remember,
it looks flat when you're looking at the close up. It looks flat. It looks very computer generated.
Okay. But didn't they have a great big giant thing walking around in an RTD episode of Doctor Who at Christmas once?
Now, did you notice that the logo, Doctor Who logo, this time was the top of the Statue of Liberty?
Yes.
Yeah. I figured that out.
Meanwhile,
when it first came out,
he's an Englishman in New York.
Englishman in New York, and the Doctor and Amy and Rory appear
also
to be
directed.
Hey.
Now, I was saying the director also directed Asylum of the Daleks.
Oh, did he?
He's got a good flair.
Yeah.
He wears flares. Well, maybe he's sort of keen on the 70s stuff. Anyway.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The Doctor and Amy are sort of having a bit of typical Doctor Amy sort of minor bickering while having a picnic-y type thing. Conveniently, the Doctor is reading a book.
Now, what is the name of that book? What is the name of it?
Anybody
see
The Angels Take Manhattan?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
No, it only has this mock-up of the book only has a
melody.
The author's name. It doesn't have a title.
Okay.
Now, BBC is putting out a book of this which has a title.
Oh.
Okay, well, because something comes up later that makes me wonder if it had anything to do with the title, if I could see what the title was. But we'll ask later.
But they very quickly said the name of the author, Melody something, and of course, why did that not twig with them three when it twigged with the audience very, very quickly?
Yeah. Convenient.
What time are you up to? Because mine just rebooted.
Mine's up to 7 minutes and 47 seconds as I speak.
I'll get there. 7 minutes and 47
I'm up
seconds.
To them sending Rory off for the car.
Rory and Amy are having a quick snog, and the Doctor doesn't quickly...
Now, did anyone notice, besides the glasses, Amy does look older. Very definitely looks older.
Well, I didn't.
No, well, she is older in certain aspects, but I think she looks...
It blew me away how much older than Rory she really was supposed to be.
And how much older than Rory?
No, she's
5 years older?
Really?
No, she died 5 years later.
Oh, is that how you... read that. Okay.
Well, anyway, the Doctor rips out the last page because he doesn't like endings.
What time are you up to now, please?
For goodness sake. We're up to 8 minutes 39, 40, 41. At the moment, Rory is carrying some coffee through some park.
Statues.
And they're getting looked at.
And did anybody notice in the titles how everything was all greyed out? Black and greyed out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it looked quite effective.
Yeah.
Being watched by some giggling cherubs with their mum on the top of the water.
Yeah.
That's quite... But when they saw that fountain, they thought, excellent, with the angel on top of it. We can use that. so then we have the first proper spooky scene with sort of Rory.
Well, there was an interview with Moffat who said that when he was in New York at another time, that he, when he looked at that fountain, he saw the little cherubs underneath and thought, they would make great angels for a story. And he said he, for the longest time, that's all he paid attention to until somebody brought his attention to the fact that, oh my goodness, there's this huge angel right over the top of him.
Melody Malone, there we go. That's the name of the author that was And
see, there's no title.
And now Rory is back in time and bumps into his mummy. His daughter. Sorry.
Hello, Dad.
Sorry, his daughter.
Yeah.
Boom.
Daughter.
There, you've just noticed the first edit point.
She was your mummy, though.
Yeah, so I can't edit this, can I? Because it's it.
What are they going to do with those Starbucks cups, which are now anachronistic on the ground?
Ah, paradox. That'll kill all the angels, because it's a paradox, isn't it? Oh my God, that's it! End of the story!
Okay! Paradox done.
Yeah. I did notice there was a CGI'd advert board.
Now,
you see this?
Did we have the scene with the Doctor and Amy on the bridge yet?
Yes.
On the bridge?
Oh.
They're back in the TARDIS.
I wanted to point out that as they were talking, Amy was playing Poo Sticks.
Oh, yeah, I did see that bit, yeah. That's right. She wasn't paying any attention to what the Doctor was saying. I'm trying to see the title of this book, but it keeps on going out of focus.
Melody Malone? It's just Melody
There is no
Malone.
Title. It just says Melody Malone.
Yeah, but there is something written on the back of the book, on the spine.
It's just Melody Malone there, too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah,
trust
the Doctor
Peddy,
and...
Trust the Peddits.
Amy and the Doctor are back in the TARDIS, and they're trying to follow Rory back in time, but there's some sort of barrier. And I love the way the TARDIS bounces off the barrier with loads of sparks and stuff.
Now, that was the thing that, Reese, you were trying to connect with something, right? That bouncing
Had that barrier wrapping around the TARDIS in the time vortex in the title sequence.
Oh.
And I noticed that last episode, and even more so in this one.
Okay.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, the book, when this book comes out from the BBC, it's going to be called The Angel's Kiss.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough.
A Melody Malone mystery.
But it's quite good where there's a shot when the car goes past and the camera pans up to these angels stood on tops of...
Yes.
So that looks really, really cool. So, the Doctor is sort of putting fires out inside the TARDIS because they've sort of failed to get there, haven't they? So they need something to lock on.
Yes.
Something to lock onto.
Something that the Doctor says that I wonder about if it's new or if you've encountered this before. When he says you can't change time once you've read it, is that new?
Yeah,
heard that one before.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing it before.
No, me neither.
I don't remember hearing it before either.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we haven't heard it before. Mm. Anyway.
She says time to be written, not as being written.
The Doctor is rather desperate here at this stage to actually get back and find Rory. Lots of desperation from the Doctor in this story. Sorry, I'm just watching. I love the way the glasses. Yeah. When Amy's wearing the glasses, they keep falling down her nose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which means they weren't.
And then, of course, they run into the TARDIS.
She got him at a chemist's shop or something.
they run into the TARDIS, and then the camera pans to a gravestone that says, "In loving memory of Rory Arthur Williams."
Three.
So there's a Ming vase in the.
And how many of us gasped when we saw the tombstone?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess because Arthur's name was on there in the middle.
Excellent. I didn't think of that one, actually. I was wondering where the Arthur connection was. Why didn't I see that one?
Yeah. Or something, I know.
But anyway, so...
Nice touch.
Now, why do they end up at this bloke's place? Because obviously it's a very dangerous place to go. But River decides to take him there.
Oh. This
well,
guy
because she's following Rory's trace, right?
Oh, she's got a machine, is she? But the writing on the Ming vase.
No.
Okay, wait. The writing on the vase. Don't go any farther.
Well, are we going to pause or?
No, I'm not pausing it. No, I just say about the writing on the vase because it will be.
Well,
an
I know, and that's where my question is, and Kirby has something to say too.
Oh, go on then. Try and remember the writing on the vase.
Back in time, the dynasty. And he had that put on the...
Yeah, no, yes. What, the initial message?
Yeah, that raptures of summer.
Yeah, as well.
That's probably just what that means.
Yeah,
That's the TARDIS translating.
Yeah, that's fine, I haven't got a problem with that.
My question was,
written in pen in midair.
Why did that get their attention? Is that the name of her book?
I don't know.
Because he's trying to get signals. He goes back in China, so he can put the stuff on the vases. So why would he put Rapture to Summer?
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Wowza.
No, that was just written on the vase. That's
so
all.
That was just a random thing you're saying.
Exactly. I do like the way that there's quick clips, a clip of them going back to ancient China so as he can get the vase.
Because this is Moffat, you know, and he drops these little casual clues everywhere. So yeah. I thought
you know
Rapture
of
Summer
too,
meant something.
You know why he does
now,
it.
I haven't had a chance
specifically to annoy Ben.
I can check those characters, but not now. I'd have to go in the hall and get a Chinese dictionary. Okay.
They may say that. I just wondered why, you know, what was the significance of Raptures of Summer?
There wasn't it.
River's got a vortex manipulator.
That's what I need here, Reese.
River's got a vortex manipulator.
My point is this collector guy brought Melody Malone to him because she is an expert on angels. He just said that. That's why they're there, and they just happen
okay.
to.
Good point.
Rory just happened to appear there because
convenient.
But then the doctor sends the signal to her because he knows she's going to be there. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That's okay. Now, so obviously we see this angel that's been badly injured and is chained up. I don't really think it would have any trouble getting through the chains again.
A message there, Adam.
Sorry?
Yeah, another silly chains thing.
Did I get a message? Shall I turn my thing onto silent? I've turned my thing onto silent. There you go.
Now, that was scary when the angel grabbed her wrist.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah.
But anyway. Except, like, other things in here, the surprise is really
scary.
Ruined. Because they show that.
I've skipped something. Rory gets sent down to the cellar.
Yes.
Yes.
With the babies.
And, yeah. You'll last a bit longer with these box of matches. Cheers. What's the point?
Yeah.
It's funnier.
Didn't seem too concerned about getting sent down there.
Yeah.
Did she?
Who didn't? No, yeah. No, she didn't. Good points. Good point.
This whole thing makes me think that the guy was already under the influence of the angels.
What, Rory or the...
No, the collector guy.
Oh, right,
the
collector.
Right.
And also
I do, agree with Mary. Or was it Mary who said why wasn't he taken? But why they're not taking him back in time? Doesn't make sense, really. Yeah.
Why, he's helping them harvest. They're using him to harvest.
Right. Okay. Well, how are they communicating that to him? Because they don't speak. Do
I don't know.
I thought the angel blowing out that match was ludicrous.
So did I. But there you go.
We were expecting it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many things from this were in the previews that when they happened, it's like, oh, well, no surprise because I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, like you say, River's has been grabbed, and then the TARDIS sort of materializes in a superb way where it's spinning and disappearing and crashing and bumping around. Absolutely fantastic. Love that particular scene.
Let's hope they use the right graphic, the right CGI TARDIS. There was one episode where they, for Matt Smith's show, they used a Tenet TARDIS.
Really?
I think that was Let's Kill Hitler.
How unusually observant.
When it went through the window.
Hmm.
How did you notice these things, Kirby?
Really?
I like how things are Rolls-Royce motors.
It's nice to find out, finally you've got round to being pedantic on the show, Kirby.
Oh, yes.
About time to.
Notice things in fine detail.
Alright, so the doctor's arrived. A few people have been knocked unconscious.
A Rolls-Royce badge on his TARDIS console.
And then, does.
And this is where we obviously, this episode, it's quite clear.
Why's he got hot and cold taps on?
Will you stop interrupting? The Doctor and Rory. The Doctor and River are married. It's quite clear.
Washes his hands, Reese.
Sorry, what did you say?
Why's the TARDIS light still on the top?
Because it's dark in there, aren't there? And, of course, they have their usual flirtiness.
Yes.
And this is where we find out that she's a professor now. Yes.
And she's been released from prison.
Yeah. So obviously getting closer and closer to...
Does that hand look like it's moving a bit?
To the Vashta Narada. Anyway, you were saying?
Now, you know, one thing about this, the scene, since they're both doctors, that's why it's a paradox.
Why is it a paradox?
compare a doc.
She's a professor. She's a doc. She's a
professor. I've used that one before.
She's a professor.
And you fell for it again.
She's a professor. Not a doctor. She's a professor.
She's not a doctor. She's a professor. So you're wrong, Kirby.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ha. There you go. There you go. Back at you, Kirby.
What you call there is a pedantry failure.
Yes. Failure to launch.
Not to say about the joke. Anyway. So, Amy comes in to see her mummy. Not a daughter. Her mummy. I got that wrong earlier on, listeners. It is it is 20 to 9 in the evening, and I have been at a bridal show all day. Her mother.
It is 3:40 in the morning.
No, it's 3:35 in the afternoon.
No.
A little bit of filling there by my co-presenters.
Anyway,
while the doctor looks, be quiet. While the doctor looks through the titles of all the chapters, he does glimpse the last.
Yeah.
Amelia's last farewell.
His reaction to that is a little bit upset.
Yes, that's my reaction to this episode.
Amelia's last farewell. I just love River there. Calm down, calm down. She can't do anything. She's still being held by the angel. And then he said, get your hand out yourself. After having said just break her wrist to get the hand out.
When she gets out and we find out how she got out, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah,
quite a menacing thing, really, because you.
That was like,
I thought it was pretty obvious, though.
Because
she was just holding her left hand and not moving her right hand.
Well, I didn't notice, not until he grabbed her hand.
Yeah.
Me too.
Anyway, so Amy and the doctor go down to the basement, obviously, and find that, or cellar, what we want to call it. Rory's not there. There's loads of burnt out matches and some baby angels. So they leg it. Perhaps what Rory should have done.
And then we get a shot of the Statue of Liberty again.
But he doesn't get transported back in time this time. He gets transported somewhere else in that
time. We don't know that yet, or do we?
No.
No, well, we don't River know that yet. It. We're about to find out.
No, we do, River but it, I was suspicious at the time of the fact that it was still the same building with the same sign outside, which I doubt would have been there 40 or whatever years. In the past, they would have transported him back. So he's still wandering around, and he's at the building where all the people are kept.
Winterkey.
And that broken wrist of Rivers, that has to hurt massively, but she doesn't give a clue to it.
Right.
No, because she's River. She's a proper hero. But you do notice,
She's just holding it down.
Brilliantly done, isn't it? Because at least you can say, and you can see the blood on it as well. You've changed the future. It's called marriage, honey. See, they're married. No doubt, she is the doctor's wife. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that's been, sorry, that was the fact he just grabs her hand doesn't make you.
Good timing.
Yes, that was, and also the makeup on the hand, because it did look particularly...
Yeah, I shuddered when I saw that. I thought, oh,
yeah.
I can't imagine doing that.
But Rivers, she's a sort of nearly a Time Lord, isn't she? So, she's special. So anyway, meanwhile, Rory is thinking it's a good idea to climb in mysteriously special. Opening lifts, stroke with elevators.
With a picture of the Statue of Liberty in it.
Yes.
The doctor has rigged up some sort of Rory detector so as they can try and find him. The doctor and River have a little husband and wife sort of heart to heart.
Now, I've got a question for you guys. Do you think there's any significance in the doctor using some of his regenerative power to restore River's
head? He used a tiny, tiny bit of it. I don't know what River's running about.
No, because of her reaction, what she was saying.
Yeah, she's very upset. She says he's wasting it.
Yeah, he's wasting it. Yeah.
So does that mean he doesn't get it? He doesn't get any back?
She gave him all of her regeneration, didn't she? To bring him back to life?
Yeah, she did.
So he's just giving a little bit of it back. And I don't know why she's getting annoyed about it. It's just being a typical woman.
Yeah, that's how I saw it.
She's just being a typical woman, and she slaps him for the sake of it, if you ask me.
Well, I can only think that it hurts him in some way and his ability to regenerate at some point.
It might do.
They have to end the series sometime.
Lovely face on Matt Smith. He looks at the camera for the slap.
The line she says there about him embarrassing her for being sentimental is exactly the line he said to her in the Wedding of River Song after she'd sent the message out to the rest of the universe.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well done. That's unusually pedantic of you, Reese.
Yeah.
Observant, not pedantic.
Oh, observant. So when you do it, it's observant. When Kirby does it, it's pedantic.
I wasn't saying that's a problem. I was just saying it's exactly the same line. Okay. When I say it's a problem, that's why I'm being pedantic. I'll say that later on.
And Amy goes out to comfort her daughter. And she says, well, don't let him see you.
Don't let him see the damage.
That's right. Right. Don't see the damage. He doesn't like endings or something like that.
And don't let him see you age.
That as well. Oh, that's it, right. And and then they get that emphasis on he mustn't travel alone and he mustn't travel alone.
You guys listening with the sound on?
Well, I've sort of got the sound on in one ear with me. Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
I don't have the sound on.
I've got closed captions on.
Can
I finish my sentence, for God's sake? I've got my headphones over my earphones. It's very uncomfortable. Okay. Meanwhile, the bloke from whose line is it anyway sort of gets back up again. And loads of papers sort of blowing around. Is the trapped angel free now, I think? Because I've only seen this once. Yes.
Yeah, because like the Daleks, she just broke her chains and left.
She wants revenge, I think.
It's the two statues from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, but the other one's there as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the little boy.
Yeah. And Rory's
Rory's
got to the top of the flight of elevator space. Well, wherever he needs to get to. All right, he's got
his name is.
Yes, where his name is. Good point. Yes.
And we've got flickering lights.
Yes, conveniently flickering lights. Mind you, the electricity in those days wasn't as
reliable.
Thank you.
Now we just saw him look at the name, but we didn't see the name. So did he actually see the name on the door or not?
I think he's just kind of wandering around, not knowing what he's doing. Yeah, so seeing the name, I don't think so.
I wish I could answer that question. I don't think he has seen it. Anyway, the Doctor and Amy arrive at the place.
Resting in peace.
Thank
the
you.
Winter Key.
But when they,
Winter
they,
Key.
They, oh, winter, mm-hmm. Listen. Winter they key. Arrive. Where's River? Yeah. And then suddenly River's with them.
I know. I saw that too.
So what's going on there then?
Bad editing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the curse of the bad editing again.
Yes.
Yes. It's funny. Didn't that happen in a previous episode? That was blatant, wasn't it? Anyway.
And the angel is smiling.
That was more blatant than the Dalek.
That was creepy.
The Dalek. Yes. Oh, the angel is smiling. And there's the ancient Rory in the bed going, Amy,
gets to do the.
And I was thinking, I've seen that scene before.
Yeah.
Of course, because when you're old, that's how you talk. You go, I'm really old, so I talk like this.
When running through the corridors of the TARDIS being played with.
Mm. The funny thing is, I mean, the CGI wasn't too. The prosthetics to make him look old were quite good, apart from the fact his eyes looked young.
These prosthetics are better than the ones from
Sound of Drums.
No, not Sound of Drums, but the last one where he was in as old. Doctor's Wife.
The Neil Gaiman one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Doctor's Wife.
The old man in the bed in Blink didn't look or act like this. He looked pretty good, actually, except that he died.
Yeah, well, all I was saying, it wasn't too bad. All it was that the eyes behind the makeup looked young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me. But I suppose it's just because after Darkle has got big eyes.
Mm. Yeah, so he looks more cataract-y.
Mm. And Rory, Doctor says to Rory, I'm sorry, Rory, but you just died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, this is where
a medical term.
There's a few little problems. Excuse me. Be quiet. There's been a few little problems with this story, only little ones. But this is where we get a humongous problem with the story from this point on.
I know the puns go.
No, that's not the problem I'm talking about. But let's carry on.
I never noticed all those angels looking out the windows.
Did you not?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so Rory's mulling it over in his mind, because obviously... Be quiet. How's he going to get out of this little problem where he's obviously going to get caught by the angels and end up as an old man dying in that room. But it still begs me to think, well, how are the, is he going to live in that room for 40 odd years?
Yeah, food? How do you get trapped in that room all that time?
Yeah. Where's
they've
the
got an angel in the hallway.
Well, the angels bring them food, do they?
They get it delivered.
Their stomach is like a caretaker.
Is there a caretaker there that looks after them?
Yeah.
That made no sense to me either, why he would have to be trapped in that room.
Well, I can understand that them all sort of...
And what kind of feed do the angels get on him just living for the next however many years? What does
also,
that do for them?
Also, in Blink, when the angels took that girl back, I can't remember her name. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Nightingale, isn't it?
Nightingale character.
Yeah, when they took her back, she didn't have to go and live in a room. She just lived out a life with a new husband.
They put them in the hallway.
Some kids.
Well, because it was that transporting her back that created the energy for the angels.
Hmm. Yeah, the difference in this case being that they're harvesting.
Yeah, I think, because remember the doctor...
So I don't get it.
I mean, it is a specific sort of situation for them.
But basically, right, they've taken out the whole of Manhattan. I don't see why they need to keep people in a house. All they need to do is just take people back in time and
take them back, live off the energy, and go on to somebody else.
Sorry, Robert, what did you say?
Don't pick holes to Moffat's plot.
Okay. Anyway,
it's too easy.
it didn't bother me that much.
No, it didn't bother me. The thing that bothered me is that you only hear the footsteps of the Statue of Liberty a few times instead of constantly. It's boom, 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 quiet.
It didn't have far to go. Because they're real close to the. They're real close to the battery.
Yeah, they are.
And also, nobody notices that the Statue of Liberty is sort of moving. Occasionally, it would stop if someone's looked at it, you know, and suddenly it's there. But
and like the first guy, we never heard her move then either.
Mm. Anyway, the Doctor and River are trying
that's
to get that.
It's a fun movie cheek, though, isn't it? It's but, like well, a
it
helicopter. Is, right. Suddenly, the they show you a shot of a helicopter and you hear the helicopter. Whereas you would have heard it getting closer, wouldn't you? It's a common movie cheat, so.
Yeah. The, what gets the Doctor and River are sort of being sort of chased by angels, and the Doctor doesn't think to use his sonic screwdriver as a torch. He does light it up once, but he just goes a quick burst with it.
I think he does it later.
Yeah, but he could have done it then, and he could have saved himself a lot of trouble.
Maybe it's just
now,
panicking.
I have trouble with when they're up on the roof. I don't think they're always keeping an eye on the Statue of Liberty. There's oftentimes they're looking at each other, and
I've got trouble with how slowly the angels move in this story.
Well, and I have a problem with the angels ganging up on them, and when they go to run, why aren't the angels freezing each other? Because now they're looking at each other.
Mm. Meanwhile, Rory decides he knows how to sort the whole thing out by creating a paradox and jumping off the building, killing himself so he can't possibly be in the bed. But unfortunately, the whole reason why he's in the bed in the first place is because he's arrived at the room and seen himself, and the angels took him back in time. So that's already a paradox. So why has that not caused the problem?
Right.
So it's a paradox that's apparently going to kill all the angels. But that would have already killed them all. That doesn't work.
Exactly.
Anyway,
you know, if they're still alive when they reach the bottom, and there's two of them, they're going to need a paradox to take care of them.
Yeah, and also the fact is that it's the actual paradoxical energy that they feed off.
He missed it again. He missed it again.
He's ignoring you, Kirby.
I'm ignoring it.
Yeah, me too.
That's the energy they feed off. Where do you stop talking over me? That's the energy that angels are supposed to feed off, this sort of energy. So why would it kill them?
Right.
Anyway. But
it goes back to why do they have to live in those rooms.
Having said that.
But in the prologue, we saw the guy meet himself. So that's already been established as allowed.
No, I'm not talking about the meeting themselves bit. I mean, that is a paradox. But that what Moffat is saying is that what he's saying is a paradox will kill them.
Mm-hmm.
When it's all paradoxical.
No, what the doctor says is a paradox.
Well, apparently that works because when they jump off the building, a great big flash happens, a reset is pressed.
You're
reading too and much into things, you guys.
I don't think
you're
I am.
Too much into it.
Do I?
I don't think so.
Well, then I have a big, big question that bothers me, is if Amy jumping off the building, if it kills Rory, which creates a paradox, she has never been moved in time or killed before, so she would, like, die for the first time.
No, I appreciate that, but you can understand what she's doing. Of course, she doesn't want to watch Rory die, so she's going to die with it, and that's fine. Mm. That's not related to what Rory's doing. It's all
I
this is around Rory.
Rory. Yeah.
I know, but Amy would just die. She would just die. No, you know, paradoxes, nothing. So how could she come back?
But she didn't want
I love the line when Amy asked, because "Do you think?" I love the line when Amy asked, "Do you think you'll come back to life?" And he says, "Well, I have before."
Yeah.
But then we see them falling through the air, and I said last week that that's obviously not really anything to do with their ending, and I was wrong.
Oh no, I figured it did. So even this whole scene of the two of them was kind of spoiled for me because I knew they were both going to jump off the roof.
I love the way her hair swirls as they fall down in slow motion, and obviously the acting of Matt Smith and Alex Kingston.
This is one of those
really
cases
good.
Where I wish we still had confidentials because I would like to see how they filmed that.
Yeah. Well, maybe they will do that for the DVD.
Hear that,
release,
BBC?
Maybe.
Yeah, and Amy's hair actually blew up.
This time around,
and then,
yeah.
Of course. And then
a big exploded?
Flash. Big
it exploded?
Flash. Big reset. It even resets the weather. It's lovely.
Yes.
Oh. And they're in a graveyard again.
One
and
foot in the
everything
grave.
appears to be all right, apart from what's written on the gravestone. And, of course, the doctor is absolutely delighted, and it's obviously raining because everybody's hair's wet. Amy's hair looks really weird. It's really sort of story. So obviously been raining for a while. But this is, I mean,
that's
this is
just
quite
their
good.
Tears.
Yeah. But this is quite good, this scene, because obviously you think everything's, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But you know they're leaving, so how are they going to leave them?
Right.
So this is also.
Are they just going to go home?
Yeah.
Well, except River makes a comment about how they're going to get really bored staying here. So I figured that they were at least trapped in the graveyard for some reason.
Now, see what River's wearing in this scene?
Yeah.
I think it's the same costume she was wearing when she bumped into Rory in the A Good Man Goes to War at the beginning, when she's at the reaction she has when she meets him as if she's just seen a ghost.
Ooh.
It's the same sort of.
That's more Victorian thing.
I don't know, but she looks like she's getting ready for. She's got hasn't got the whole costume on. She looks like she's getting ready for something.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought her costume looked odd, but I didn't make the connection.
I thought that straight away. And then, of course, he
now,
sees
they
his
they mentioned
gravestone.
Repainting the TARDIS. Maybe they should paint it pink.
Yeah.
Well, they're washing it.
Exactly same name.
So he sees his own name on the gravestone, and then he is an angel behind him. But how can it possibly touch him? Because Amy's looking at it.
I know.
No, she's looking at Rory.
No, Amy's looking. She can see. She says Rory before the touching of the... So she's seen it. How does it touch him? Can't move. It's quantum locked.
Moves, he just moved a little bit back.
Doesn't matter. It's no, it won't work because it can't move. Even if he touches it when it's a stone, so it's only not stone when it's not
and
quantum
she
locked.
She's looking at Rory.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not having that.
Me either. She was looking at the angels. She said, "Rory, as in look out behind you."
Stephen Moffat wrote it, so he would know.
It's
best,
rubbish. Yes.
No. he said quite clearly in Blink that they are just stone when you're looking at them, so you can touch them.
Yes.
Right.
But she was
bear in mind,
Rory,
River.
Right,
listen. River was grabbed by the angel, but why wasn't she transported back in time? It had hold of her wrist.
Convenient.
But all they had to do.
Yeah. There's that question too.
So,
because that one was broken.
You know, when I was first watching this, I really enjoyed it. I sat down and I was really engrossed in it and taken in by it and enjoyed the way it was unfolding, the grippingness of it and this scene and the emotion.
Really?
Deb was crying her eyes out, this scene.
Really?
And, you know, when this particular bit where Amy's looking at the angel and she reaches back and River grabs her hand and says to River, look after him. It's just absolutely lovely.
Yes.
Really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the doctor begging her not to go. It's fantastically acted, fantastically played, brilliantly written. These little things are so beautifully written. I'm not going to sort of quibble about the acting and certain scenes.
Yeah.
But the way the whole thing knits together and the complete holes in it, you know, spoil it for me. You know, having, because it wasn't long afterwards, I went to bed and I was thinking about this story. I said, what am I going to say about this one? And I started thinking about it. Oh my God, this doesn't work. That doesn't work. You know, but I admit that when I watched it as it was out, I really enjoyed it. And that's really annoying for me. There's so many holes in it. And then after that, it sort of spoiled it for me a little bit.
I didn't enjoy it the first time I saw it. That's a first time, Kirby.
I enjoy it for what it is.
No, it's not a first time.
Yes, it is.
Bad plot has too many problems.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
So is this.
I'm sorry, but what... It's saving grace. This story's saving grace. Is these scenes, those last couple of scenes, the way, even though it shouldn't work, because it was so beautifully acted, and it was great. And these last few scenes with the Doctor and River, and brilliant. I just love that. That makes the episode for me. So, I know the way it built up to it was a bit naff.
Since I don't have captions, doesn't he say somewhere around here, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry"?
He doesn't say it like that. Not like ten.
No, but somebody said them. Somebody said on another podcast, a very pro Moffat podcast, that he channeled every Doctor in the previous story.
In the previous story, yes, I heard that.
Yeah, and I'll have to go and watch that again because I do remember seeing a bit of McCoy and a bit of Pertwee. He scratched Pertwee's neck.
Trout,
and I did
too.
The way I didn't see the Trouton bit, so I'll have to watch that just to see what they're talking about.
Scratching the back of his neck at the very end.
Yeah, that was Pertwee, yeah.
I thought it was Trouton.
No, Pertwee, he was doing it.
Whatever.
He used to do that all the time.
I got a whatever up.
The doctor says to River about how she must have sent her book to Amy to get published, and I'd like to know when did that happen, or when does that happen?
Well, obviously now.
Yeah.
But obviously, this is obviously sort of gives the clues to why the Doctor's been going backwards and seeing Amy and Rory before they disappear.
Someone pointed out that his running across that bridge is exactly like his running at the end of the library episode to rescue River.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's fun like that because on the cover of the.
And listeners, we're talking about the piece of paper the Doctor ripped out of the book earlier on in the story.
I like that.
Which is a personal goodbye message. Yeah, I agree. That works well. A goodbye message from Amy, who then tells him, you know, to go back and see a little girl who is waiting for him. Again, this was the only clue that actually, you know, from the 11th hour.
Did you just whistle?
No, I didn't. I seem to remember in a previous podcast when we looked at the 11th hour, re-looked at it to see if we could find any clues for the end of a previous series of Doctor Who. But I did pick up on the fact that the little Amelia sits down and looks up at the sound of the TARDIS. So that did happen.
I noticed.
Yeah, we all thought that she had dreamed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Julia, who has stepped out of the room, has problems with this whole scene, although we all cried, of course. She should remember this, and also the universe is rebooted.
Yeah, but didn't the universe reboot at the time of their wedding?
Yes.
So that's fine.
And why doesn't she remember this stuff?
We'd have to go back, and we will do. We will go back and view these episodes when we watch Series 5, and then we can just sort of see if Moffat's not as bad at tying up loose ends as we think he is.
Of course, we've got the quick scene of Richard E. Grant.
Yeah,
I didn't see a thing because online it's got nothing.
You know, it's called Richard E. Grant. Wouldn't it have been easier just to call him Dickie? Richard E. Dickie.
Has anybody got a link to the end?
Link to the end? What do you mean?
No.
Of the world as we know it?
It's the
big one?
I'll just find it.
It's out there, but you didn't record it?
No. How can I record it when it's on only online? It's on iView. It's on iView. ABC.
Oh, iView doesn't have the
no.
No, it doesn't have.
I had to go and find it online afterwards.
Right, now, while you're doing that, I'm just going to say in this episode, and I will reiterate what I said. When we all sat down as a family and watched this on Saturday evening, totally engrossed, I enjoyed the, you know, the tension and the spookiness and that side of things. I probably wasn't paying as much attention as maybe I should have done, but basically because I was so engrossed in the episode. What was that noise?
Sorry, I was moving around. I was in one position too long, and I kind of jiggled the microphone cord.
Oh.
Okay. where did I get up to?
Thanks
you
for
were,
that.
I've lost my thread.
You said you were sitting around and totally absorbed.
Yeah, and obviously we got to the leaving scene. Quite emotional. I didn't get emotional myself, but I gauged the emotional.
Sure.
You cried.
Oh, for God's sake. I gauged the emotionalness of a scene by watching Deb and see what she's doing. And if she's blubbing, it's an emotional scene, and she was indeed blubbing. Isabella, however, when Alicia tried to rub it in and said, "Isabella, Amy's dead. Amy's dead, Isabella."
Oh,
she just sort of sat there with a few little moistnesses in her eyes. Didn't cry. She was just more sort of a bit freaked out by the fact that it was a bit of a spooky story.
That's not me this time.
Anyway.
Who's rubbing their microphone?
Like I said, along really the side, is a bit disappointed with the gaps in the time, sorry, the gaps in the way the angels are supposed to be. Again, he's changed it. He's sort of gone back a little bit to ways that they were in Blink, but then he's sort of changed it to suit him, and I'd rather the angels were, you know, they were one thing or not the other, you know. That really annoys me, you know. That yes, okay, they still zap people back in time, but they're not quite right, are they? They're not quite what they should be.
No, my daughter and I immediately, in the scenes when the angels were all closing in, it's like, well, they're looking at each other. Why aren't they freezing?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that disappoints me.
It's exactly the same problem I had when Amy said to Rory, "Look out behind you," because she could see both of them, and I don't know why it still touched him.
It's a very short.
Although it was
teaser.
So sad that he didn't get to say goodbye.
And the paradox is supposed to kill all the angels. It either kills them all or it doesn't.
Right, so why was there a survivor?
Because it was convenience, the plot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very annoying.
Because Karen Gillan and Arthur Darvill didn't sign up for another year.
they just had, we know that there are angels throughout the universe. So one survived and just sent to be in New York. So what?
Because
he thought he killed all the Daleks, too.
No, I'm sorry. I know, and the Doctor's the last survivor of the Time Lords, blah, 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 but no.
It's a television show.
Yeah, they needed it to happen, and it was a bit.
Just remember that.
Well, Kirby, we really have swapped roles today.
I think he could have got away with it.
No, we haven't.
He could have got away with it.
Yes, we haven't. Normally the one saying it's a television show.
Please let me finish. He could have got away with it if he said, "The Paradox will wipe out most of the angels." If he'd said just one line, then of course everything could sort of go back to where it was. Most of the angels were dead. The Statue of Liberty could go back to being the Statue of Liberty, and there might be the odd, you know, stray one going around. That's all he needed to say. Not it would wipe out all the
in the past, though.
I know it was.
They went back to the future.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Is it possible that the other four episodes to the Doctor's timeline took place after this, and that's why we're experiencing them out of sequence?
I think it's quite possible, because we heard River.
He knew what had happened to them.
No, he read that message from Amy to go back and see her as a little girl in the garden. So I think he's gone back and
seen. I'm talking about the four episodes.
Yeah, but that's what that proves. He's gone back to see her.
Yeah.
Mm. So, and I think, you know, there's a period in which he's done that quite a lot. And this is what has happened in the previous episodes. But also, he's been told he mustn't travel alone by Amy, Rory, and now his wife.
Well, then he could just keep traveling back in time, and he could spend all the rest of his life with Amy and Rory if he chose to, because he could just keep going back and getting them and going on other adventures.
I know, but what this implies, and this thing I do quite like, because I've been waiting all along for him to have River as a companion, and clearly it was implied in the Silence in the Library stories that River does spend time as a companion, but now they are together, but we won't get to see their adventures, but obviously there is now a time in which the Doctor and River are travelling together, which is nice. It's nice to think. They've set that up nicely.
And I hope we see her again.
I do.
I like River. I hope she comes back again.
I think that, you know, there's going to be a point in which she does have her last episode, because we know it's going to lead straight into Silence in the Library. That'd be quite nice. But they could have, you know, quite a long sort of period of time in which she keeps coming back. But
Now, if she's told him not to travel alone, she does travel with him, that means that he traveled with Malone.
Oh.
Don't quit your day job, Kirby.
Oh, somebody turn his microphone off.
Yes.
He's here until Thursday.
Yeah, so I think that falls under the category of being a complete and utter disgrace.
Yeah. I had a very hard time getting into this story emotionally, because the previews showed so many things that as those scenes were approaching, what would have been either an exciting moment, like River's hand getting caught by the angel, and or whether Amy was really going to, you know, keep Rory from jumping off the roof, those were spoiled for me because they were all in the previews. Yeah. Yep. So as
that's
those moments approached, I thought,
that's the reason why Julia
this
won't watch any of the previews.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that in the previews.
No, I agree.
Close your eyes, Mary. That's what you can do in the future.
If I could say, I don't know what it is about it. This one does not bother me. I like it.
Oh, not saying I don't. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just disappointed. No, I don't hate it. I'm disappointed by the great big chasmous plot holes in it. But it's equalised by some fantastic acting and character observations and the leaving scene. Like, even though it's stupid, it was beautiful.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Harry says he hates it.
Definitely not, it's very definitely not a Curse of the Bad plot.
No, I agree.
Oh, no, not at all.
Reese, go on then, Reese. Go on, have your rant.
Yeah, Reese says he hates it. I want to hear why.
It's pretty much because, and I'm trying not to just be hate
paradox.
It because
oh go on
no
yeah
I'm trying not to hate it because the pawns have left. I'm trying to look at it subjectively. There are lots of problems with the angels. Like Adam said, it's convenient that they either kill somebody or send them back in time or just hold their wrist, for example. And I had trouble with how slowly they moved. They were supposed to be scary. A blink of an eye, they could be right in front of you, whereas they were kind of they were going down the hallway at walking pace. Pretty much.
Yeah.
When the guy at the beginning turned around, they were just kind of slowly moving down there.
They were faster. They were faster in the corridor when they were chasing River and the Doctor.
They
yes.
were. I was
yeah,
happy.
The Statue
with
of
that.
Liberty was the fastest angel of all.
Yeah, well, it would be your feet.
And mind you, when I first saw that, you know what I got in my head, don't you?
No.
Sorry.
Ghostbusters theme.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, okay.
I agree with Adam. It was the plot holes I didn't like, but the acting was, as always from the main cast, exceptional. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Mike McShane as Griles, or whatever his name was
Grail.
Just
Grail.
Slimy.
He was holy.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
Ian, help us.
Yes.
He's the master of the puns.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with Adam. It was the acting that held this one up for me, but the story was barely held together.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I feel like I've been instructed on how things are in the Doctor Who universe, only to have this story turn around and kind of go against a lot of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Robert, what do you think?
Well, I don't have a problem with it, to do it, but I just enjoy it for what it is, and it's just entertaining.
It was entertaining. I'm not going to knock it for that. It's just that I was thinking afterwards.
I just took it on face value. I didn't. I guess I'm not as
critical.
I'm not as analytical.
You usually are.
Like I did. I can see a bit what Mary's talking about with things being spoiled, but I didn't remember all. I didn't watch the trailer last week all that much, so the only bits I sort of remembered were Amy and Rory falling and the angel blowing out the match. But so that wasn't really. But yeah, those sort of things are a bit spoiled. Maybe they could have chosen something else, but I didn't really sort of analyze it that much. I can see what people mean, though. If you have a convention with a certain thing like the Weeping Angels, keep with it. But, it's Moffat's invention, and maybe he can write pretty much what he wants.
He can do whatever he wants to.
Yeah, precisely.
I'll be back in just a second.
Should we move on? Should...
One.
Gonna be back.
Okay, well... But yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. I thought
it was well handled. It was. I loved it. I think I'd probably just watch that bit, not watch the rest of the episode.
I liked what they did, having every other episode be a fun one that I'll happily go back and watch again anytime soon. But this one, just maybe because it's quite a sad episode. It ends up being sad. I probably won't be going back to watch it again.
It's also nice that that Amy and Rory, Amy just completely loved Rory, and that was how it ended. But it didn't make any sense of the pond life, because the divorce bit, that was silly, pointless. They could have added just a minor disagreement. Mm. There was no need to go down the divorce line and get back together because they can't have kids, blah, blah, blah.
Adam, I think the only reason that they did that was to have more power to the scene in Asylum of the Daleks, for the doctor. Well, where they realised that the doctor
Those pond lives didn't really add that much. They were just really just teaser trailers. They didn't. For me, I thought they were to have some significance of the actual series because there was a nude in it. What was the point of the nude? Apart from comedy purposes, it wasn't really. Yeah. All it was just little teaser trailers, wasn't it?
That was funny, though.
Apart from the last one.
That little bit, though.
The last one was the only one that had any significance to the story. They were good fun, but didn't really mean much, you know.
I've got another point that kind of disappointed me. It was that all these ideas that lots of fans came up with, like the Doctor going back in time and visiting Amy, which we know he does, and he tells Amelia the story, but the great theory that you and Kirby were sharing on Facebook, which is something along the lines of they get Mel's in New York where she regenerates. Yes. Something like that would have been really interesting and fascinating, would have tied it up, but it just seemed to be a standalone episode, which normally I like, but it's the end of a run of episodes. Normally they tie them in, and if they'd had something to link many episodes, I think it would have been a bit more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know that.
Something else. Why did they stay in New York City? Why didn't they go back to Ledworth or London?
Well, they probably did, but they have to travel on some sort of boat.
But their tombstone is in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, very good point. Very, very good. I hadn't thought of that. It's another one. Never mind.
Did anyone pick up anything about lights? Or Christmas, or eggs in this one?
Oh my god, good point. Again.
No.
Muffet!
Other than the flickery lights, I think that's about it.
Mm. The flickering light bulbs, so. What about the eggs? Sure. Maybe they ate eggs, and all those years they were in the in the hotel room, eggs is what kept them alive.
I mean, it seemed like such a point to do that in the last few episodes. That
We could have just picked up that stuff and... It was just
and it had no meaning.
They could have been doing that deliberately and not have nothing to
do. They did do it deliberately, didn't they? Just to sort of
mind you, the light one does make sense. If he does go back in time, you could still have the theory that he goes back in time and sees the light and has a serious look in his face because he knows what's going to happen to them.
Yeah,
blinded by the light.
Please. Well, I think we've bashed this episode around enough.
Beaten it to the ground.
Disappointed now. I mean, there's a bit of speculation. Be quiet. So we got the Christmas special coming up, and how long is it going to be between the Christmas special and the next episode? But somebody put that Jenna Louise Coleman had already recorded some episodes after the Christmas special, before the Christmas special. Is that right?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
She recorded the Asylum of the Daleks.
No, that's not what I meant. Right. Shall we go on to email messages?
Why don't we go
on to feedback?
No,
because I've gone crazy.
Yes, you said we had a lot of messages, so I'd love to hear them.
Lady S has sent in some little messages, audio ones.
This is your announcer from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Right.
Woo.
Hello, I'm the Doctor from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama. And the thing is, you're listening to the rather brilliant 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That's right, yes.
This is Master Matt from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama. And you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
No, I'm not. I'm on it.
This is Dorian, otherwise known as Captain Jack Harkness, from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama. And you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Captain Jack's gone a bit funny.
This is Anna, otherwise known as Yanto Jones, from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama. Yanto's gone even funnier. And you are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hey.
This is Abby, otherwise known as Tosh, from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama.
Tosh just got weirder.
And you are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
They've got a good Tyson podcast, like.
Oi, this is Melissa Jackson, otherwise known as Gwen Koopa, from Tempest Temporis, the audio drama.
Oi.
And you are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Enjoy.
Hello. I'm the Doctor, and this is Heather.
Hi there.
From Tempest Temporis, the audio drama.
And you are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay!
This is Lady S with the cast of Tempest Temporis, the audio drama. And you are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Lady S. Oh, very sexy very voice, nice. Sure, Lady S. Do you think they're trying to promote something?
Gee. The 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
That as well, yeah. Right then, I got some emails here from, and like I said last week, Mary is attracting the new contributors.
I'm trying to get this in. Best.
And this is a new contributor, Derek Kennedy from Canada. God, I can't believe someone from Canada is not listening to the Radio Free Skaro podcast, but listening to us. Good on you. Anyway, he says...
It's because we're good.
Well, yeah. He says, hey there... What are you making snorting noises for? No, you didn't say that. I'm just asking that question myself. Hey there.
Oh, right. That's a prediction from him.
Derek, that's not me interrupting your email. It's Rhys Parton.
What's his name again?
Well, if you were listening in the first place, instead of interrupting me...
My name's Rhys. Mary. Rhys.
Derek Kennedy from Canada sent from Samsung Mobile, it says on here. Not a very good sort of taste in mobile phones, because obviously Apple iPhone is much better. Anyway, he says...
Welcome to the Apple podcast.
So that's not me interrupting your email again, Derek. It's Robert. It's all the Australians, funny enough, interrupting your emails. emails. It is, in fact, your emails, because he sent two. He said, hey there, guys, new listener... Absolutely addicted to your podcast, just like Doctor Who. I do tend to
get medicine for that.
I do tend to agree with most of what you say and discuss, as well as gain new insight into certain aspects of the show. Started listening to this podcast around the time of A Town Called Mercy, so you're not exactly a long time listener, as Town Called Mercy was only about 2 weeks ago. But
a very discerning one.
I'm very pleased that you have. started listening to the show, enjoy it quite a lot, but we'll remind you there's another 132 episodes for you to tune
in. Don't tell him that.
Anyway, continue. Which, by the way, I loved the Ben Browder from Stargate in as Isaacso. Who's Isaacso?
You know,
Isaac
was the
Isaac. Why is it Isaacso? Oh, never mind.
It was the Marshall.
Oh, yes, that was him, was it? Okay. Anyways, I'm going back through your new series episodes, just listening to your episode on Asylum of the Daleks, and you were talking about when He says Anna Louise Corman. Obviously, that must have been when Rhys said it, because it was actually Jenna Louise Corman. Obviously, Rhys does tend to occasionally slur his words.
Shame on you, Rhys.
Was hooked up to all the wires on her head. My perception was that this was the conversion of her mind. Then they would have done the whole Dalek squid form her. It seemed to me to be the first stage of conversion, a.k.a. brainwashing. Then DNA extraction, or altering, I guess, is the best way to describe it in my head. Because if she was still human figure inside and she had maintained her humanity, the doctor could have cracked the casing and saved her, I think, anyways. Then I guess she would be a normal Dalek in the casing. But in her mind, her humanity stuck and survival instincts kicked in. The whole humanity and soul stroke heart being so strong that it can be suppressed reminds me of Craig in Series 6, episode called Closing Time, where he overpowered the Cybermen programming and pulled himself through for his child.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Classic reasoning of why the Doctor loves us so much. Anyways, love the show. Don't stop ever, LOL. And I can't wait to hear your new episode for Angels in Manhattan. Is that the sequel to Angels Take Manhattan? Maybe.
Well, yeah, and he makes a good point. I mean, there are those who can resist the conditioning or brainwashing better than others, so... Like Craig?
Yeah, I like that.
That was
the case. Very succinct, and I couldn't find too many spelling mistakes in it to take the mickey out of there. Never mind. But he sent another message in. It says, glad you like the show. Oh, I sent that to him. Darn.
Go on, Adam.
No, he did send another message in. He said, check out this clip I found on YouTube, Doctor Who theme in metal. This guy put a lot of time and energy into this.
Play it.
I play the guitar, and the guy does a great job of the metal, if you like metal.
No.
Let's click on the link and see what happens.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, indeed. Oh, God, it's 4 minutes, 33 seconds long. I think I'll dub that on later.
Why doesn't he send the link to the podcast page and we can all look at it?
No, I'll just play it on. I'll insert it in here.
Ooh, okay. Ooh,
I continue ooh, Adam, with that's emails. You merit, Robert tends to forget we have a lady on the show. Right then, this is from
I never knew that good old
Andy Nunny and the lovely Dawn. Oh. Now, isn't it? We haven't heard from Andy and Dawn for a while, so it's very nice to hear them back again.
Andy and Dawn, that I have not like heard or read
any of these emails previous to what I'm doing now.
Well, good afternoon, or welcome. Why am I saying welcome? You should welcome me. Anyway, good afternoon, everybody. I'm sitting here, it's 19 morning. Minutes past 12 on Sunday afternoon. I'm just sitting here having my breakfast come lunch of fruit and fibre with lemon yoghurt. Very nice, very healthy. And I stood this morning with the church and we're off to the rugby shortly, go and watch the Mighty Quinns slaughter the Saracen hordes. Anyway, I'd like to talk about the last two episodes of Who that we've seen, the Power of Three and, of course, Angels Take Manhattan. And I'm actually going to agree with something Alicia said, that the two stories really themselves didn't have much plot. They were more about the relationships that the Doctor has with Amy and Rory. I think that really was very clear yesterday in Angels Take Manhattan about the fact that how he interacts with his companions, with River as well, that is making quite interesting, shown that the effect he has on people's lives, he really just throws them all around, doesn't he? I mean, what he's done, he's taken two people from 21st century Britain and they're now living in, what, maybe late 19th century America. So again, if the story itself was set in the about 1920s or 1930s, I think that means if they'd gone back 50 years, because they're what, the 31, beg your pardon, and he died when he was 87, so that's about 56 years back. So he's gone back to something like 1870. So they actually get to live through a lot of the progression and development of the States, and end up dying in depression, which is pretty sad. But I wonder will we ever see them again or hear of them again. I wonder how they're going to cope with River. Will River ever come back? And how will River cope knowing the fact that her parents, who were, she was older than her parents, and now they're older than her again? It's very confusing, isn't it? But it just shows how the Doctor, he needs to have people with him. He needs to be protected from himself. But also he needs to understand the effect he has on people's lives, how he can come in and just rewrite history and change everything. It really is very interesting, the social interaction he has. I think that the two stories themselves as well, I thought that Angel Take Manhattan was almost like a film noir, wasn't it? I mean, the way it was shot, it was very dark.
Yeah.
Really can't understand what the collector's doing with the angels. I've had to watch it again. I did watch this yesterday before we disappeared off the pub and had a plate of curry in front of me, so I actually didn't have quite as my full attention, and I was also trying to follow what happened with Birmingham and Brighton. They actually went to win a game.
That sounds nice, a plate of curry.
I think it's the way Birmingham are at the moment. But it just seemed to be a plot device, and I say it was more about the interaction you had with Amy and with Rory and how you were going to finish them off. And what did come clear here, the actual total devotion had for each other. If you think that the prequel that we had for Asylum of the Daleks showed them on the verge of divorcing, and look where they are now. And I think a lot, you know, I didn't guess that Amy was writing the book herself. I mean, certainly when you know, she should have got the clue with Melody. And that went straight over my head, obviously. But it's... I think there's some wonderful one-liners in there. I think the best one was the one with Rory about the fact he wanted to go... Evans wanted to go and visit the Empire State Building. Not the Empire State Building, Ponker. Statue of Liberty, even. And she got impatient, because there the statue with the angel face on.
Yeah.
I think we've had some great one-liners. There weren't any eggs in it, though, this were. Although we did have flickering light bulbs. I think that's common themes.
Mm.
So, is the flickering light bulb the flicker of life that the Doctor has with other people? Who knows?
I doubt it.
Anyway, of course, we've now got to wait till Christmas and the return, I suppose, of Jenna Louise Coleman. Now, anyone who saw Room at the Top, apparently you get to see the full range of her talent as she displays her full range, if you get what I mean.
Cool! When's that on?
It's been on.
Couple of points you've made about things you talked in the past. Now, one of the other podcasts, when you talk about the penis patrol, and there was some debate about how long it is. Surely that would depend on how often they get it out, I would have thought.
Oh, for God's
sake. And then, Adam, something I will agree with you, you talk about Groundhog Day being a good film. This
is a film
to watch again and again and again and again and again. Yes. Right, well, I've been ranting on for 4.5 minutes now. Blimey, it's been the longest one I've ever done. So I'm going to love you and leave you. I'm going to finish my... fruit and fibre and yoghurt, and the lovely Dawn's downstairs having a baked potato and probably watching Come Dine With Me. She's obsessed with that programme. Though one of our friends was on it, actually won it not long ago. We still got the lovely
one of my friends has been
looking
on
after the rugby, and it's Monday tomorrow. Hey, go back to work. Anyway, have fun. Keep safe. See you soon. Bye now.
Thank you, Andy and Dawn.
Oh, thank you, yes. Andy.
That's lovely. Well, we need more of that from Andy and Dawn, don't we?
Andy.
And it's funny you should say about his friend being on Come Dine With Me. My friend Michael Coombs, who's a radio presenter on Isle of Wight Radio, he was on Come Dine With Me a couple of years ago, but now he's left the island, is now in Wave 105 as a radio station on the mainland. So good luck, Michael. That means, of course, he's never going to get round to promoting this show on the radio, but never mind.
Andy makes an interesting point, too, about the same episodes that we tend to kind of go at with our criticisms about plot holes and problems. He says he looks at it just as a character piece. And, you know, here again, you know, yeah, sometimes we just have to sit back and let the character piece play out.
Mm. I've only done that with one episode so far, and that was Angels in Manhattan. I liked The Power of Three.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was another character piece. Yeah.
Now, talking of character pieces, right, one of the best stories of the last series was a character piece, and that was called The Girl Who Waited.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, but that worked because it was... It just knitted together better as a whole story than this episode. Do you want to click around the ear roll?
That's what you said.
As Shrek said to the donkey, you're going the right way for a smacked bottom.
I can't feel my toes. I don't have any toes.
Promises.
Oh dear. There's more anyway. There's more audio. And this is the one I've been waiting for because I haven't heard this one yet.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh. Hello, Adam. Hello, Alicia. Hello, Debbie. Hello, the little one. Hello, the fish, the dog, the clock, the telly on the wall, the broken laptops, the missing socks, the one-handed watches, the Australians and the Britons, but not hello to the Yanks, as we're getting well done by you in the Ryder Cup, so I'm not saying hello to you. And finally, hello to all Podgram listeners. This is affectionately known now as Ben's bit, because I am Ben, and this is indeed my bit. I'm here at home on Sunday lunchtime with my little six-year-old baby, Mimi. Say hello, Mimi.
Hello.
She's playing on the iPad at the moment, which is why you might hear some rather strange noises in the background. She's actually kind of like sitting nearer the microphone than I am. But anyway, for the last time in this pathetically short five-episode run of Doctor Who, here are my thoughts on this week's episode. The Angels Take Manhattan. Not impressed. Not at all. Hardly a tiny bit impressed. Even, probably actually less impressed than impressed. Are you getting the general idea of this? Firstly, the first big issue I have with this is the paradox thing. Now, I thought, firstly, the paradox they pointed out was a paradox, fair enough, but it got broken, so how come all the angels were still around? How come the Statue of Liberty didn't disappear? If I'm going to that. But how do you meet yourself? I thought if you met yourself in any science fiction thing, then the whole world would explode, or your arm would burst, or something like that.
They always do that in
so, that was my first issue. Obviously, even before the titles rolled, we saw that detective bloke meet himself from the future. You can't do that, surely. The episode had plot holes all over the place. It was another piece of really, really bad writing. It was a case of someone who thinks they're a good writer trying to be too clever and not pulling it off in a massively bad way.
This was it.
It won't come to any surprise to anyone that I'm massively disappointed with Stephen Moffat's episodes. The two that he's written out of the five have been the worst episodes out of the five. He's meant to be the head writer. He's meant to be in charge of this show. Yet, there are clearly better writers who do things with Doctor Who, and yet he claims the head writer task. Absolutely pathetic. Again, he's trying to make the scary angel things be even more scary by apparently bringing in the baby ones. They look rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. And the Statue of Liberty as an angel. Seriously? Poor idea. Because, of course, whilst it was trudging around the city, making those great big stomping noises, no one had noticed it had moved, did they? No one at all had noticed that the Statue of Liberty had moved. Absolutely pathetic. Stephen Moffat is words that I won't say in front of my six-year-old. the ending. We all knew they were going to leave in one way or the other. We just didn't know how they were going to go. We all thought they were going to go after they jumped off the building. That bit was quite nice, quite nicely written. Ooh, almost a bit of praise from Moffat, not quite though. Yeah, nicely written, nicely acted, but then obviously the whole paradox thing comes into it, and again, massive plot holes there. They survived, but they remembered the paradox. Not meant to work like that. Maybe, you know, Doctor Who has helped them. And that was the other thing. Oh, that was the other thing. Ah. The fact that in every episode that Moffat's written in this series, and probably the last, he's tried to get a little gag in where he's written, the Doctor, Doctor Who, someone's replied. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Very funny, Moffat. You're such a clever man, aren't you? So we had the bit where they jumped off, and then the bit where they went out to the graveyard, and they're still there, they're still roaring, Rory's still going to die, and then an angel appeared out of nowhere. Oh, one had survived the paradox. Oh, amazingly coincidental, which took Rory. And you had a little bit between Doctor and Amy, and then Amy got taken as well, just disappeared. As you do. What a load of pap. Absolute rubbish. You know I've got issues with Moffat. Yeah, what it is, he just seems to expect us to like the rubbish that he turns out. Just because he writes it, he thinks it's great. The man has serious delusions of grandeur. I do fear for the 50th anniversary next year, because he's just going to make a pig's ear of it.
Except he's not writing
it's
that one.
It's just going to be incredibly disappointing. Get that man off the show, and it might turn decent. Talking about decent, at least Jenna Louise Coleman's going to be in it from Christmas Day, which will be the next time I speak to you, no doubt. So all take care. I hope you enjoyed the episode a lot more than I did. By looking on Facebook, I've just seen that Reese Parton didn't seem to enjoy it that much, or whether it was just because he's a soft lad, and... he doesn't like that sort of thing when people die. I've got no idea. But anyway, Reese, hello, mate. Hope you're all right. Don't be so soft. Adam, I'll speak to you soon. Everyone else, I'll see you soon. Have a nice Christmas, and see you afterwards. Say bye, Mia.
Bye. I'm going to say bye-bye in my favourite kitty voice. Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, that was a shame. He said he's not, we're not going to see him till Christmas.
This podcast with the clock and the dogs and
yes, I wonder where he learned it from.
Dogs and clock day today. What's going on?
Yeah, but you're right. I cringed when I heard River say Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it this time.
No, yeah, it was said in a slightly less pantomimey way than the
Don Robert rat away.
Anyway, I have more. Yeah. I like having very large sections of audio messages.
More?
It's probably the last time we'll get such a large section of audio messages. Take but I have.
That's what she said.
This particular person has sent this in.
I follow the skinny guy for two more blocks before he turned, and I could ask him exactly what he was doing. He looked a little scared, so I gave him my best smile with my bluest diodes. He said, "You have a message. Connecting you now."
Retention log. Day 4. Still nothing to report.
What are you doing?
I'm watching The Power of Re on continuous loop. I am to report to unit if I see anything happen.
Could you help me work out a puzzle?
Go for it.
What do you call it when there are two ducks on a pond, but there isn't a pond?
What are the ducks called?
Amy and Rory.
That sounds like a pair of ponds.
Funny? Mm. Sounded to me like a pair of ducks.
Well,
it's time for my next slot on the 2 Second Tardis podcast.
Kirby's joking.
To get back to watching The Power of Three. Wouldn't want to miss it if anything happened.
This is Lewis and Natasha.
And Amy and Rory.
Signing out.
A loud tap hit the speakers like a wasp with an attitude problem. Ouch! Exclaimed Kirby. As the coolly authoritative voice of the Galactic Exchange informed the 20 megabiters that their message had ended, before adding, "Have a nice day."
Now we know who should write the next series of Doctor Who. That was Jim the Fish.
Yeah.
I agree.
There was something in it that was really good, and I can't remember what it was.
the paradox.
That was it.
No, not that.
Paradox.
That no.
Good joke, that, isn't it?
That wasn't very good.
All right. Anyway, thanks, Jim the Fish. Always nice to hear from Ginger.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Jim.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello.
The Angels Take Manhattan by Stephen Moffat. We have problems with lights again, but no eggs or Christmas or explosion. The doctor visits the Qin Dynasty. Another joke about his chin? I'm surprised the picnic basket on the last page of the book would still be there, even for a few minutes, in Central Park. Does the doctor explain what happened to Brian? The Ponds have been sent back, perhaps, to 1970, when the little girl who grew up to River regenerated in New York. River is going to contact Amy to get the book published, so she might mention this to her. River transported the Ponds before, in A Good Man Goes to War. Is there a timey-wimey lock to prevent her doing so again? The Doctor wound up with Amy's Harry Potter glasses. Bye for now.
What is that all about? What is that all about?
I'm lost.
What was that song all about? Anybody know?
It's the Eurythmics.
No.
I have no idea.
Angel. It's called Angel.
Not that. Not the Robbie Williams version of the song, which is superb.
No, that's...
unless you're in Mexico, where it would be Angel.
And through it, she offers me protection. Shun, yeah.
And Ian brings up Brian. Yeah, I wonder, how is the doctor going to break this to Brian?
No, good point.
Are we ever going to see Brian again?
Well, no, I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah. But the thing is, right, it got me thinking, and this is what I was, what Jim and the Fish's audio.
Careful.
It came back to me.
Careful.
It came back to me. Something in Jim and the Fish's audio made me remember about the scene in the Silurian story, the first episode, where Amy and Rory see Amy and Rory on the hills, which was never really explained. A bit like, do you remember the Doctor Who story from the 1970s? I think it was called Day of the Daleks, when the Doctor and Joe see Doctor and Joe mysteriously appear in some
corridor. And they don't
corridor.
Explain it in the story.
I wonder if they just
come
put
back
that
to
in.
The, scene, do they?
I just wonder if they put that in for the, like a little bit, of a throwback to that, or just that Moffat thought I might come back to that, but he can now explain it away as part of the Doctor sort of flitting around the place with Amy and Rory, but they didn't ever revisit it.
Yeah, I remember being puzzled about why Amy and Rory saw themselves, so I guess when we get to that episode we'll talk about it.
Maybe so. Good point. Again, very good point.
Yeah, since this was since Chibnall's done several things since, I'm surprised. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. Maybe he wasn't allowed to.
And here I am with Isabella and Alicia.
Hi.
And first of all, Alicia, what did you think? Or should I wait till you finish your mouthful?
No, good.
I'll ask. What do you think of Doctor Who then on Saturday?
Scary.
What were the scary bits?
The weeping angels.
Just the weeping angels. What was the scariest bit?
There'll be the scariest bit. It when it was Amy and Rory died.
How did they die?
Well, only Rory was the first one, and they had to blink and they were dead.
Had to blink and they were dead?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amy done that.
Okay. But you didn't cry when Amy died, did you?
No.
Good. Okay. So wasn't that sad then? Did Mummy cry?
Yeah, Mummy's crying her eyes out.
No.
Right then, Alicia, for God's sake. Why is it every time I point the microphone at you, you stuff your face with a biscuit?
Mongo. I thought it was very, very good.
Was it? What about the plot holes in it?
What do you mean plot holes?
the fact that the angels are killed by a paradox, but the fact that they send people back in time and they feed off that paradox anyway. So how would a paradox kill them when that's what they feed on?
Don't think I've thought that through.
And also the fact that they're supposed to have all been killed, yet there was one left at the end.
Doctor explained that.
How?
One of them must have escaped or something like that.
But I have never taught my children, listeners, that it's not polite to eat and talk.
You told me to talk.
Yeah, but you can talk, then put a biscuit in your mouth. You're putting a biscuit in your mouth, then talking. It's a completely different thing, isn't it? In fact, you're hardly giving yourself time to breathe.
So, yeah. I thought it was really cute, like, the way that they played out the couples and stuff.
The Doctor and Amy and Rory.
I really enjoyed that bit. It was a bit of like some bits a bit hide behind the sofa.
Which bit was a hide behind? I didn't find it particularly scary. I thought it was a little bit.
Hello.
What was it like? I would say not tense. Thrilling, thriller, but like a thriller. But I didn't think it could be called scary.
No.
You thought it was scary, did you?
A thriller.
Right. Now, bear in mind also that the angels, when you look at them, they turn to stone. So don't you think somebody in the city that never sleeps would have noticed the Empire State Building walking from the island where it's mounted?
So sorry.
Yeah, I said the Empire State Building, just to see if she was listening. The Statue of Liberty. Why did I say the Empire State Building? The Statue of Liberty walking from its little island place where it resides.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the city.
I don't know.
To the building where Rory was.
I don't know.
And the fact that also, when the angel in the graveyard touched Rory, Amy was looking at it. So how did it touch him?
No, she wasn't.
She was.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, she was. And also, when the angel grabbed River's wrist, why didn't it just send her back in time? Because it got hold of her. It's a few little inconsistencies with the story. But
watch Doctor Who.
What?
I want to watch Doctor Who.
Do you?
No.
I mean, like I say, when I watched it with you, I really enjoyed it. But when I started thinking about these things afterwards, I realised it was a bit... Mm-hmm. You can just take it to its actual time zone. Why are you fast-forwarding it?
Turn it up!
See, I don't get the mother and daughter, the mother and son thing.
What do you mean the mother and son thing? What mother and son thing?
That.
Oh, apparently that... Oh, you mean in their mother and son angels that have taken over those statues? They're just angels. How many of those biscuits are you eating? You've had about 10 of them.
3.
10, Alicia.
Hello.
10. I can't hear Doctor Who.
Well, it's because it's not turned up, Isabella. Right, have you got your recorder down there, any chance? Good. Well, hopefully we'll make up for last week's lack of recorderness. This week. Now, what do you think? What is the...
See, why don't they move then, them statues?
Because they're being looked at. Now, that's the only thing we couldn't understand, these people at the windows. Now, these people apparently at the window are people that have already been taken back in time and are just waiting to die. Yeah? That's what... But it wasn't explained. Like, often things in Moffat things are not explained. But you just have to glean your own ideas from that. Well, I'm sorry about that.
I don't know where it is.
But there were some good bits in it, I'm not denying that. The leaving scene was good, apart from the fact it didn't make much sense.
I still
maintain the fact that the right angel was certainly being looked at when it took Amy back in time. Doctor and River were looking at it.
I don't know.
The Doctor was looking at it because he was begging Amy not to do it, not to go back.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, it was stone. So it was a mistake. But Moffat doesn't really care about stuff like that. But it was beautifully played out and written as far as the way they acted, you know, during the fact they left. And I like the bit at the end.
Wait, Kawinky Ding?
Amelia Pond. What are you doing? You're going backwards.
Wait, what's the elevator? I swear it goes up.
Yeah.
But it went down.
It went up and it went down?
Yeah, but it's going down. It's not going up.
Why would
watch,
it be going...
Watch, watch,
all right, so he's going to get in the elevator.
Okay.
And then it goes down, does it?
No, it goes up. Wait.
Oh, why wouldn't it go up?
Wait.
Yeah, no, it's
going up. That seems going down. Look.
No, the camera's above it. So it's going up towards the camera. Depends how you look at it, but it is going up.
Mm.
Yes, you see the cables going upwards. Cables are only on the top of an elevator, stroke lift.
So you're not looking at the angel then?
Okay. But look, there were some things in the previous few episodes, like light bulbs and eggs that are mentioned quite a lot, which didn't come to anything. It was obviously, obviously we had light bulbs flickering in this, like you do with angel stories. That sort of didn't come into anything. And like I said...
I'm sorry, my
recorder's
missing.
Oh dear. Like I said
earlier. Have we asked Mum?
It was a very good.
I have.
Is it in your butt bag?
No!
Oh dear.
It isn't
anymore.
Not funny.
I can't remember what I was saying. What was I saying?
Mum, where's my recorder?
It should be
around
here somewhere. I don't know. I can see it underneath the
bloody
homework.
It's underneath your homework. My homework. But like I say, I like the way they tied up the bit with the Amelia when she looked up the sky and heard the TARDIS. Because you remember that, don't you? And they did actually use that bit, which I thought that was quite good. But I'm just a bit disappointed. 5 episodes. Now we've got Christmas special, and God knows how long we have to wait.
Why is it only 5 episodes? Why
isn't it 5 episodes? Do you know why I think it's only 5 episodes? Because what he's going to do is do 5 episodes of the Christmas special, and then 6 episodes, and then they'll keep 3 episodes back for the anniversary. So they probably won't make any Doctor Who next year. It's a cop out. Right, go on then, Isabella. Here we are, this is Isabella, finally getting round to playing the recorder. But why is a recorder irrelevant to Doctor Who? Second Doctor. Right, go on then.
That one's called D. This one's called a D.
Is it?
Okay, you played that tune last week. Play a proper tune.
No. Do you want to play a tune? Is it a tune you made yourself, or is it one that you've been taught?
I made it by myself.
Go on then. Let's have it. Here we go. Isabella's magic. Some fairly nice little notes there, didn't you, Isabella?
Yeah.
Thank you. So on the whole, you liked it. The actual plot holes don't bother you?
I want to
watch Doctor Who. I'm curious to see what the lady who actually did cry a little bit at the end. That's because she's a nice person. She has feelings. And she just waved her hand at me and said she's not talking. That's a shame.
Yeah, never mind. I've got more things to worry about.
Well, no, what's the matter? What are you worrying about? What did you think as a non-Doctor Who fan of that episode?
Pathetic.
But you cried at the end of it.
Yeah, but he's a robot.
Who's a robot?
Roy.
No, he's not.
He's a robot.
That was all reversed at the end when he got married to Amy.
It got
because that's what Moffat does. It's a reset. RTD used to do it.
He couldn't die though.
Time was undone.
Yeah, but he was dead anyway. How can you bring back somebody who's dead?
It's Moffat!
No! See? I'm right.
It's Moffat.
Everybody's saying the same. You cannot bring somebody back that's already dead. He was a person that was turned... He was a robot.
Basically, when... at the end of the first series, when the Doctor... did everything. All time was set back to before...
But he was dead!
Who was dead?
He was dead!
Yeah, but
before that,
the Doctor
dead.
The Doctor reset everything, so everything was set back to before Rory died. So all the things that happened didn't really happen, like the Silurians and the angels.
But that doesn't account for, because he still can remember sitting up for her.
That's because he'd been in the TARDIS.
No, yeah, so Adam.
It's Moffatism. But you do make very good points, yes, and I can understand it's a very good point, but you can explain them away, but...
No,
I agree with you. It is a bit stupid.
Stupid. Yes, stupid.
It's still good and entertaining television. Isn't it, Alicia? It's good, still good entertaining television?
Mm-hmm.
Even though she doesn't really like Doctor Who. What do you think of Doctor Who?
Scary.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye. Bye. Oh, sorry, I walked away while you were saying bye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I said goodbye.
Bye.
That's it for emails and audio for this week. Thanks, everybody. Please keep it coming.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, that's what the end
noise?
Of this series.
I don't know any noise that you talk about having problems calling it other things.
Yeah. as I was
trying to say... He's trying to get Adam to say the... F
please.
Word.
I'm never going to say the F word on this
podcast.
Oh,
don't say the F word.
No, it's too rude.
Flatulence.
Yeah, well, typical.
No, no.
Why am I not surprised that Robert came out the word flatulence? It's usually magic that actually comes out with the actual flatulence, but he's not in here with me.
Oh, magic.
Anyway. Keep, please keep it coming. I know that's the end of the series, and obviously people might still be thinking of what's been happening in the last 5 episodes and want to add some more to it, but it's so nice getting correspondences, and I'll be disappointed if next week things go back to the usual nothing
wrong with the word feedback,
but I'll be even more disappointed if we didn't get anything from Ian or James.
What noise?
Sorry, Jim the Fish. Right, I have the top 30 Doctor Who podcasts.
Ooh.
Yes, I don't know why I'm still sticking with this particular feature. Maybe for hoping that it keeps people from the other podcasts listening to the show just to listen to this bit. However,
well, Adam, think of it this way: the coming off this series, so people will stop putting out podcasts, won't they?
You reckon? So you're hoping that it'll make a massive change to the positioning next week? Okay.
Yes.
I'm sure. Yes.
Okay.
I
think the
week
after that is going to make a difference because people are still going to be a week behind, so they might be. Anyway, what are we talking about next week?
I've been getting Power of Three stuff even yesterday.
Well, I don't know. What's up to you? I'm going to leave it with you. We've got a choice. Either we begin Series 4 with one of my favourite stories, which is... Crime. Thank you for filling in the gap there. Yes, or
The Donna Noble
review
series.
A classic story just to fill the gap between there.
Well, Partners in Crime would be, quick and easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get to that.
Right. It's Partners in Crime.
Yeah. I know, and if you want
me to try and concentrate on one of those other Fifth Doctor ones, I can see what I can do. I could at least get it from Netflix.
Partners in Crime.
I partners fire in crime. A couple of weeks.
Right. Well, I was about to do the charts. But surprisingly, I got interrupted.
Yes, 7 hours ago.
What? Ooh, I can find Warriors of the Deep very easily.
I think that's time for this week's Kirby. Nyeh, 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 nyeh.
Well, what about you, Reese?
Can you access
these classic episodes?
Not easily.
One all there. Right, can I get on? We'll do Partners in Crime, and I'm going to do the charts. Number 30 is a re-entry for The Oncoming Storm. Number 29, a new entry, I think, for The Who Review. Number 28, re-entry for The Time Vault. 27, up 3, Staggering Stories. 26, re-entry for Preacher's Podcast. 25, up 3, Playing Doctor. 24, up 3, Impossible Podcast Doctor Who Commentaries. 23, up 6, Whostorian. And Non-Mover at number 22, Doctor Who After Buzz TV After Show. 21, down 1, Police Box Paradox. I'm a poet, I didn't know it. Number 20, up 6, Sound on Sight. Number 19, up 6, A Madman with a Box. Number 18, up 6, The Casterbarus Podcast. Number 17, up 6, Doctor Who, Who's He? Number 16 is a re-entry for the Doctor Who.
I don't know,
podcast.
Who is he?
And number 15, up 4, Doctor Who Review Today. Number 14, up 4, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number...
Number 13,
up
2,
The
Minute
Doctor Who Podcast. 12, a re-entry for the Doctor Who Book Club. A riveting. Oh no, sorry, I'm only joking. Number 11, out of 6, mostly harmless cutaway. Number 10, up 2, the Omega podcast. Number 9, up 1, the Pharos project. Number 8, up 3, the Memory Cheats. Number 7, up 2, the 11th Hour. Somehow think that our podcast may not be out for much longer. Number 6, because they only release episodes when the series is on.
Why?
Number 6, up 2, Impossible Podcasts.
Oh, we go.
Number 5, another podcast that only seems to release episodes when the show's on, The Oodcast. That's up 2, by the way. Number 4 is a non-mover for Tin Dog Podcast. Number 3, a non-mover for Radio Free Scarborough. And if I say to you, number 2, a non-mover, Doctor Who Podshock, that rather indicates that number 1 will also be a non-mover, the Doctor Who Podcast. That concludes this week's top 30 Doctor Who podcasts. Anything to add?
Probably the most, the least interrupted podcast.
Yes, indeed. List. Wouldn't it be nice to actually be able to play all the music track without having to edit it to make it longer? Lovely.
That's what she said.
Oh, and I can get both episodes of The Awakening as well.
Mary's trying so hard.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh.
By the way, I put a link to on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page. I put Tempest Temporis trailer.
Yeah,
didn't you see my liking it at Kirby?
Not yet. I am multitasking, which is why I haven't been talking a lot.
That's a condition that women often claim to.
That's why we do a podcast, so that you can be quiet and be doing other things.
And did anyone see the pictures that I posted from my youngest daughter went to an anime convention?
Yes, I did see it. Yes,
there were several Doctor Who related. Why they were Doctor Who cosplay at an anime convention? I'm not quite sure, but there were some pretty good things in that. The most horrible Dalek I've seen outside of Blue Peter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say outside of the Teletubby Daleks.
Yeah. Oh, go take a look at that. The base is huge and the dome is tiny.
Yeah.
But Jesus.
For God's sake, Reese.
I think Reese thinks that he can just say that after just about everything somebody else says.
It works. I get a reaction.
Oh, God. Almost obscene, you are.
It's going to carry on.
BBC America is advertising a drama that David Tennant is in.
Oh, yes.
I think it's called Spies of Warsaw.
Spies of what?
Something like that.
Spies of...
So has it already shown in...
Maybe just UK? Broke Wind.
Oh, Mary.
Mary Broke Wind. Oh,
did you see the Doctor Who in the U.S.? Special?
Yes, I did. Which turned out to be amazingly entertaining.
Wow.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet because my weekend's been pretty busy. But
it's nothing but Doctor Who people, the cast and everybody talking.
How did they handle, speaking of Blue Peter, how did they handle Peter Purvis? What
I hope they handled him very gently because he's a very old man now.
Yes.
I don't remember.
I was surprised he's advertised to have a role in that special. But I haven't seen the special yet.
Of course. Didn't know he had it in him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't remember.
That's what she said.
Saving that.
But it is good, Kirby. It's a really good special. I enjoyed it.
I'll be able to watch it probably tomorrow when I can finally sit down and watch it.
Because they even show shots of the William Hartnell episode that took place in Manhattan.
Was he in that one?
TARDIS goes to the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, it's the Peter Purvis episode. Is that why?
Oh, maybe that was it.
That's what he's Morton Dill or what? Morton Dill.
What was the name of that episode?
Chase. It was part of the Chase.
The Chase, that's right. That is what it was.
So let's see. Come on, Wikipedia.
In the meantime,
don't rely.
Is it settled what we're going to talk about next?
Yeah, well, now if we've unsettled the partners in crime, but it all depends.
Yeah, Peter Purvis.
Sorry, but it all depends on whether Reese can get his hands on the awakening.
So it comes down to Reese, what he can access.
It does, yes, because if
Kirby
said he'll find a way,
yeah.
It's up to Reese. Can he get the two episodes?
On one boy's shoulders.
That's Merlin, that's on next week.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to do Partners in Crime next time, and then Reese can do some research to find out if he can find?
What are you saying,
stories? You know, we can interrupt our run of, you know, of David Tennant.
Could do stories. Two stories. I'll be quiet for half the episode.
With occasional classic episodes.
I don't know if I would better watch Awakening and Partners in Crime on one week.
Decide on Partners in Crime now.
Do you know, the funny thing is, right, with Partners in Crime, I had to watch that episode when we were on the TARDIS Tavern podcast. So maybe I'll just go back and listen to that.
Oh.
Everyone's breaking up for some reason. By the way, Peter Purvis was in The Chase. So that's why they had it.
And that must be it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Right.
Are we doing The Awakening or...
Yeah, we'll try The Awakening. Yes.
We're doing The Awakening for next week.
Even though we don't know if Reese can watch it.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll soon find out.
I know who's valued around here.
Reese's, but I'd like to challenge
him. Yeah, right. Prove that.
The rates and the standards of innuendo in this particular episode of the show deserve some sort of.
And then when are we recording?
When are we recording? Well, I think we promised to go back to Mondays, didn't we, when the series had finished?
Oh, yes, please.
You mean alternating Mondays?
Well, then it doesn't
Mondays
matter. I will
Sundays?
Be on the show.
Quite possibly, but which would mean, of course, that as it's Sunday this week, it will be Monday next week.
So will you be able to even be on, Reese?
Nope.
If we do Monday? No.
Nope.
Nope.
Well, there we go. That's rather answered that question, isn't it?
So I don't need to find The Awakening at all.
No, you're all right.
Oh.
Thank you,
though. I just found it for you.
Why, thank you.
Wait, do I need to find The Awakening or not? I'm confused.
Yes. You need to find The Awakening. And then Robert can awake.
I'm awake.
Yeah, you definitely need to find The Awakening if you're recording on a Monday morning.
So it's only two episodes, right?
Yes, it's two episodes.
Okay, that'll be good.
Hey, Adam, it is Monday morning.
What?
It's Monday morning.
I can hear some ear flapping in the hallway.
Sorry.
I'm
going
to get the dog in.
Sorry.
Get in here. Star flapping her ears in a ridiculous way. Just to reiterate what Kirby said earlier on, Tempus Temporis, the trailer, is available on YouTube. Go to the 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group. Lady S's thing is on there, and there's a free book download, isn't it? No?
Okay. No, I think it's four books.
Wow.
Very
funny.
Free.
He misheard you. It wasn't a joke.
I misheard you.
And of course, we have to welcome Matt Holden, Julia Bartlett Sloan, and Tommy Reyes to the
group. I will go poke Julia Bartlett Sloan, literally.
There's been a bit of news on the Doctor Who.
What Doctor is the Awakening?
Fifth.
Davidson.
Fifth.
The fifth.
Yes.
The fifth. Davidson.
Yeah. Do you know that really annoys me?
I am acquiring.
There's a few things that annoy me recently. One is the Doctor Who podcasts. They basically will not criticise Moffat in any way, shape, or form. Everything he does,
except to diss Amy.
Yeah, except to diss Amy. That's a good point. They can't deviate. I mean, on this show, we got. With this episode, half of us sort of thought it was really great, half of us thought it was not so great. You know, there's a bit of difference of opinion with that. We must love the wonderful Moffat. He's so brilliant, he's brought so much to Doctor Who, blah, blah, blah. Come on, let's have a bit of difference of opinion. And it just makes it so boring to listen to when they all love it so much. Now, I do listen to the Doctor Who podcast, but it does annoy me, you know, when they can't see fault in anything. But if they talk about RTD, oh, it's terrible, it's awful. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying that RTD did was brilliant, but you've got to look at it as it was. Some of it wasn't so good. Some of it was superb. It's the same with Moffat. It really annoys me.
It's possible the ones you're listening to, they like the complexity of Moffat, whereas RTD was more, you know, adventure, and his stories were not so complicated. So maybe that's the difference. You know, that it's the fans that want to be challenged.
That's why I've liked the past four episodes. They've been pretty adventure-y.
What, past four episodes,
right,
or the Doctor Who podcasts?
Kind of complex.
No, it's the Doctor Who episodes.
Right. So Moffat writes for the fans, and RTD writes for a broader audience, I think.
But I was going to say something else. I've forgotten now, because I was having a bit of a rant about the Doctor Who podcast. Sorry.
Randall and Martin Booth are now friends.
I'm having a lot of trouble understanding people. The connection's really
bad. Can't help if you've got a dodgy connection. That's what she said.
I don't know.
I was trying to get around to a bit of news. Robert, stop
okay.
it.
We're listening to news.
I was just trying to see if there's anything interesting coming up on news feed. There's the Power of Daleks fan film final trailer has been released. What else we got? Australian ratings for The Power of Three, a massive 565,000 viewers. I didn't understand a word of that. All I got is
Stelia. Yeah, that's all I'm getting.
I think we can count off that particular comment.
Population of Australia.
Something about the population of Australia, I think, listeners there. Angels Take Manhattan had an overnight audience of 5.9 million. So that's pretty good, really, because it's going to go up. Bearing in mind the X-Factor had 8.7 million. It's going to be very close to that, isn't it?
26.9%.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to report on that, really. Apart from, I've just a bit annoyed with myself that I forgot what I was going to rant about, apart from the Doctor Who podcast. I remember what it is now. I'm getting better. Other podcasts that call the Doctors, depending on which Doctor it is, 1, 2, 3. 1 said to 3. Or when 1 came down, then 3 was over here. That really annoys me when they call them just numbers. I know it's a shortening.
Ah, but did you ever hear the Oodcast great football
yes, I did hear that. Anyway, no, that annoys me. I'm sorry. Don't like it. Don't like it when they just call them by numbers.
They say 10 and 11. Yeah.
Sorry, I just got irritated. Even the fact that you said it just really annoyed me.
Adam Smash.
Yeah, I think that's about it, isn't it, really? Can't think of anything else that we may or may not be able to discuss. I'm not going to bother doing eBay until we fall back into the...
Aren't you going to mention about at the Recon event?
I wish I could DVD understand.
Producer Dan Hall outlined some of BBC Worldwide's plans for releases during the course of the next year.
When was that? I didn't
see
that bit. Where was this?
With the exception of one box set believed to be the legacy set of Sharda and more than 30 years.
30 years in TARDIS.
Which is due to come out after the Cause of Access special
edition. You can't help it.
All releases next year will be individual stories, new titles.
Where are
Terror
you reading this? I can't see this news.
It's at the
latest edition
of
finished products.
Yeah.
Unofficial companion of the Big Finish audio adventures. That's all I'm seeing at the top of the page. That's below it.
That's below it.
Ooh,
yeah, clearly.
Oh yeah, it's just arrived. DVD 2013 discussion at Recon. Oh, exception of the box set. Releases next year. Individual stories. Terror of Zygons. Mind of Evil. Yeah, thank you, Laura.
Oh, interesting news that I just heard.
No, and they're talking about because they did the animated episodes for Reign of Terror. They're saying because those episodes that were returned, Galaxy 4 and underwater menace, has said they're being restored, but it says that about Underwater Menace episode 2 is not being.
No, he's not.
Wake up, Robert.
Yeah.
You sound like you're falling asleep.
That's why he needs to watch The Awakening.
I'm not falling asleep. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, the person who. I have a good friend who has all the DVDs who's going to
loan
to me. So I'm going to be able to get The Awakening.
For Mr. Internet.
Yeah, right? Very good.
As the old British phrase goes, knock it on the head now because it's 10 past 11. I want to sort of relax a bit before I go to bed. Yeah?
Yeah, it's...
No, it's time for, 5:15. Time for you to get up then.
5:10.
The timeline of my recording is now about 2 minutes behind where it's supposed to be, so I think I'm going to have a hell of a problem trying to sort my audio out for this episode. But never mind.
Oh my.
This is my computer. I had to reboot it because it wouldn't accept the microphone as a USB connection. So I had to reboot it for it to remember it. But when I tested it earlier on, it was fine. But since I've started recording, it's completely out. So I think my recording is going to be no good.
Okay, so the conclusion for the Muppets Take Manhattan was that two of us liked it and two of us didn't.
Oh, no, I love Muppets in Manhattan. It's good.
No.
I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not sure.
Disappointed with it. I did enjoy it, but on the whole, it's not.
I enjoyed it and had.
I enjoyed it and had no.
Go ahead.
No, so I'd put it above the Power
I wouldn't.
Three.
I'd put this as the worst one of the series, but it had some of the best scenes in it.
No. Town Called Mercy is the worst one.
I enjoy Town
five.
Called Mercy more than
Not for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I liked Power of Three, too. Maybe I'm beginning to like stories with plot holes. Except for particular one.
Well, that's good. That's a plus.
Or you like stories that are about character. You know,
yes, I like stories with
more drama than...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And Curse of the Bad Plot was a story about nothing.
Well, I think we can agree on that one.
It was a bit of a disappointment. They can't really deflate from that. This big build-up. Now, a big build-up to the departure of the Ponds. Although the actual departure itself was very, very good, it sort of let them down a little bit. The Ponds have been probably the best duo of companions they've had since Jamie and Zoe.
Go back in time to your 12-year-old self and view it through those eyes.
I did, and I hated it.
Anyway, right, that's it then. Thank you very much for being on the show this week. It's been lovely having you with me. And that's what she said. And until next week, when we will be looking at and trying to stay awake
until we meet
awakening.
Again.
We'll meet again. Don't know when.
Bye.
See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? What do you mean 2 weeks?
Well, because Reese will be with us on Sunday.
Bye.
Oh, that's right. Just went over that.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. No, that was really funny because Robert just went, bye.
We'll be right back.
from Humpty Mermaid Doctor Who podcast is an ABP3 services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!